How many of you know it's all about Jesus? He's the reason for the season. He's what all of this is about. Praise God. How many of you are thankful for Jesus? Thanking God that He sent His only begotten Son, gave Him to us so that we could be born again and have eternal life. Thank you, God. Let's raise our hands up to God right now and thank Him. Thank you, Father, for loving us so greatly that You gave us Your only begotten Son. We thank You for the gift of Jesus, Your gesture of goodwill toward man, Your offering of peace so that the war would be over and we could have peace with You again. We thank You that we are now reconciled to You through the gift of Your peace offering. And we give You praise and honor and glory, Father. This Christmas, for all that we have, that we can have Christmas every day now, having peace with You. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Well, you can open your Bibles to John chapter 1. John, the first chapter. And I've got a little Christmas message for you today. But for those of you that attend High Point regularly, you'll see that this will perfectly echo everything we've been talking about over the past month and a half or so that we've been on this series that I've called The True Vine, How to Be Fruitful in the Kingdom of God. And I saw the correlation this week of how the same way we've been learning that the seed is the Word of God and the Word of God is what we need to bear fruit in our lives, that this is the same way that this Christmas miracle that we just saw portrayed to us occurred in the life of Mary. So what I want to teach you today is the Word made flesh, how to conceive a miracle. The Word made flesh, how to conceive a miracle. Because how many of you know that what happened on that evening and that day when Jesus was born was not just by happenstance. It wasn't just because God sovereignly chose to do it and it was going to happen irregardless of what anybody else chose to do. Mary had a choice whether she was going to have strength to conceive seed in her life. And I believe that we can learn from her examples how we can receive the Word and have it made flesh in our life as well. What do I mean by that? The Word made flesh, the promises of God, everything God's spoken to us, the truth that makes free, how to receive that Word and then how to have it manifested in our life. Amen. How many of you could raise your hand and attest to the fact you'd like to see God's promises manifested in your life? Well, we're going to learn how to do that today, how to conceive a miracle. So let's look here in John chapter 1, in a very familiar passage of Scripture. The Apostle John begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And Luke, notice verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you did give us the Word. And we thank you that you are the Word. You and the Word are one. And we thank you, Lord, that this Word is what created all the things that we see. And we thank you today for teaching us how to have fruit produced in our life, how to see a creative miracle in our life through the example of the greatest miracle this world has ever experienced, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us today to learn truth. And as we continue in your Word, Lord, we thank you that the truth will make us free and will never be the same from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Say it with me. Say, I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. The Word will change me forever. Amen. Amen. Notice back in verse 1 of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, that it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, this is an obvious reference to the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. He was called the Logos, the Word. And the word Logos that's used here describes a statement or the expression of a thought. Amen. Most of the times when you see this term used in the Bible, the word Logos is describing the written Word of God. Amen. Which is this Bible, the 66 books that we have canonized as Holy Scripture. Jesus Christ, though, is also called the Logos, making Jesus and the Word the same. Amen. And notice that it says here that that Jesus, the Word, was in the beginning. Now, this is an obvious reference to Genesis chapter 1, which begins how? In the beginning. Amen. God created the heavens and the earth. So what are we seeing here? That Jesus was at the very beginning when everything was created. But he was what? He was the Word that was spoken. Now, if we go back and refer to Genesis chapter 1, we see what happened. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And darkness was over the face of the deep, and the earth was without form and void. And God looked out over everything that was there, and he said what? Let there be light. What did God do? He spoke. Amen. So God the Father, in cooperation with Jesus Christ, our Savior, spoke into existence everything that we have. So what does this teach us? It teaches us that our words are powerful. The Word itself is powerful. Amen. The Word is what created everything. And if we go into the epistles, we see in the book of Colossians that Jesus was before all things. Everything that was made was created through him. Through what? The Word. Amen. So what are we seeing here? The Word has creative power. Amen. To bring anything life that's dead. Anything that's without form, he can bring form to it. Anything that's dark, he's able to bring light to it. And what specifically did God say on that day? He said, let there be light. Most Hebrew scholars will tell you what he really said was, light be. Now, aren't you thankful God didn't just get out there and look over everything that was dark and without void and said, man, it sure is dark here. I wish we could have some light. There's no life here. Amen. But see, this is how most Christians operate. They go into something that's lifeless, they go into something that's dark, and they call it like they see it. Amen. And you'll have a lot of different people that will do that. They'll say, well, I just believe in calling it like I see it. Well, I'm thankful God didn't do that. God calls things that be not as though they were. He calls into existence what he wants to see, not what he's currently seeing. And we are supposed to be imitating God as dear children. So what should we be doing? If we've got barrenness, if we've got lifelessness, if we have darkness, what should we be doing? Saying, light be, and calling into existence what we want to see. Amen? So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 2 goes on to say, he was in the beginning with God. Now I want you to notice how it describes here the Trinity working together in perfect correlation. We actually see, and we're going to get more into this here in a moment, but we see in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. You remember that? So you had the Holy Spirit's operation there. You had God the Father making the plan, and Jesus Christ, who is the Word, speaking into existence everything that we want to see. Amen. And this is what's so significant to me, is that if Jesus is the Word, and we're going to start operating like God, guess what we're going to have to do? We are going to have to be in union with His Word. We can't be operating out there opposed from God and saying, well, I just believe it's just going to happen this way, or I'm going to make it happen this way. No, what should we be doing? Cooperating with the Word of God. We've got to be thrilled with the Word. We've got to be excited with the Word. We've got to say, the Word is what's going to bring to pass what I desire to see here. It holds my miracle. Amen? And then he goes on to say in verse 3, notice this. In verse 3 he says, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. What does this mean? That the Word of God is how everything that we see was created. So why would we think that anything else that we desire to see in our life, that includes fruit, is going to come apart from His Word? Why? Because the Word is the seed, and you're not going to get any fruit apart from the seed itself. Amen. So He was the beginning. Everything came through Him. Amen. And then it goes on to say in verse 4, notice this, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So God, having light in Himself, was able to create all this life that we have around us. Amen. And He calls it the light of men. Obviously another reference there to Genesis chapter 1. Now let's skip on down and let's look at verse 10. It goes on to say, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Showing us that the new birth, being born again, has nothing to do with the will of the flesh, the will of man, or of your own heritage. Amen. You understand this, and this is a good word for some people in here today, because I know you're here for Christmas. You came to see the children's program, but God don't have no grandchildren. What do I mean by that? You are not going to be in the kingdom of God and be a child of God just because your mama and daddy were. You're going to have to make your own personal decision that Jesus is going to be my Lord and Savior and be born directly from God and become a child of God yourself. Amen. And it's not going to happen because you will it to happen, because of any other reason. It's going to happen simply because you make a decision to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. And then in verse 14, he goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you today about how this occurred. So, since we've already talked about the Gospel of John chapter 1, and we've talked about Genesis chapter 1, let's now go to Luke chapter 1 and see this common thread that's woven throughout the Word of God. Amen. Luke chapter 1. And I want to show you today how this happened in the life of Mary. Praise God. Amen. We're going to begin in verse 26, Luke 1, 26. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, I want you to notice, if you've got a translation that does not indicate here that Mary was a virgin, it's wrong. A lot of people try to write this off and try to water down the Word of God to just try to make it, no, this terminology that was being used here, where she was just a young girl. No, she was did not know a man. She was never with a man. So what happened here was a bona fide miracle. In fact, it actually had to happen this way, because if it would have been by a man, it would have been corrupted because of the sin of Adam. He had to be born of His heavenly Father. Amen. Which to me is symbolic of everything that Jesus did. I love this right here. Everybody believes that everything Jesus did was because he was God. Every miracle he performed, every healing that occurred through his ministry happened because he was the Son of God. And that is absolutely not true. Every miracle that happened in Jesus' ministry, all of the great things that happened through him was not because of his divinity. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And he did it as an example for us of how we should do it. So what happened here? He was essentially born of God. So he was born again. Did you get that? He was born again. He was born spiritually alive, like you and I, every single one of us in here, were born of a natural father. Therefore, we had death in us. So we had to be born again. Jesus was born the way that hopefully everybody in this room has been born again to. Amen. So this is what happened here. And then notice what it says. And having come in, Gabriel, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now I want you to notice, what's the first word that Gabriel spoke to Mary here? Rejoice. So what I want to establish you in today is, don't just listen to this like it's the Christmas story. This is recorded for our admonition, for us to be instructed by on how we can grow into the same image of Christ in our life. So the first thing that angel said to her was super significant. He commands her to rejoice. Why is this important? Because rejoicing has a great amount to do with how much you're going to have the ability to conceive your miracle. Your attitude will determine your altitude. And if you're down in the dumps, discouraged and depressed, and it's just written all over your countenance and everything like that, you can essentially abort your miracle. You can. You have to rejoice. And we actually see a good parallel here with another woman in the Bible who did not have the ability to bear a child, yet supernaturally she did. Any of you have an idea who I'm referring to? Hannah. Yes, Hannah, Sarah, and Elizabeth. We're going to go to look at Sarah, though. There's actually several of them. I wasn't even thinking of that. But we're talking about Sarah today. Praise God. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and let me show you something. Oh, this is good right here. Notice what it says about Sarah. Now, if you go and you read this account of when this happened, you remember that there were the three messengers of God who came to Abraham's tent, and they broke the news to Abraham that Sarah is going to conceive and bear a child. And do you remember what happened in this? Sarah was maybe in the kitchen getting something ready for him, and she laughed within herself. You remember that? The Bible says she laughed within herself. Now, I don't believe it was a laugh that was like, "Yeah, right." I believe it was more of a laugh of, "Really?" I believe it was more of, it wasn't like she was in perfect faith, but she certainly wasn't in unbelief. To where the angel even called her out on it. You remember that? Why did Sarah laugh? And then she denied it, saying she didn't laugh. And he said, "Oh, but you did laugh." Amen. Showing us a very important principle. The Bible says she had laughed within herself. What you do in your heart is what God considers you really doing. Interesting point there. But we know, if we look at the whole story, that Sarah actually rejoiced in this promise. And you know why? Because when Isaac was born, put that scripture up if you don't mind, Robert. Put that one up real quick. Yeah, Genesis 21 and verse 5-6, it says, "And Sarah said," after she had born Isaac, it said, "God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me." And so she named him Isaac, which means laughter. Amen. So essentially, Sarah named her boy, "Ha Ha." There's actually a professional football player out there called Ha Ha Clinton Dix. I don't know if his mama thought about that thing, but right there, she named him Laughter. Why? Because God had made her to rejoice in giving her her heart's desire and promising her something. And if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, notice this is how this miracle conceived in her life. Because it said, "By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. So from the Hebrews commentary on this, we see that Sarah's reaction was essentially, I'm going to rejoice in this because I'm judging him faithful as he promised. Amen. She rejoiced in the promise that was given, to where she even named her son that. Amen. So rejoicing has a great amount to do with how this miracle can conceive. And in fact, we see how Mary actually followed through with this, because if you go on and read later in Luke chapter 1, you see that Mary actually sung a song. Amen. And she said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Which holds another very important key to us. It shows you the work your soul has to do in rejoicing and the work your spirit has to do in rejoicing. Your soul is what magnifies the Lord. It's what makes God bigger in your mind. It's what makes God larger than the circumstances around you. How do you do that? By putting your mind, your will, and emotions on those things, you can actually make God bigger to you. You're not going to make him any bigger than he already is, but you can make him bigger to you. And the epidemic that's in the body of Christ today is many Christians, while they wouldn't say it with their mouth, see God about like this, based on what he said. But I'm not here to tell you, God was in the beginning creating everything. God's bigger than all of this. So it doesn't matter what's going on in your life naturally, what your circumstances are, what your situation you're in. It doesn't matter. God is bigger than that, and you got to see him that way. So it's your soul that's going to magnify him to that place. But then it notice that Mary went on to say, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Joy, rejoicing, is spiritual in nature. And you can't depend on your emotions to do that. Your emotions are going to be up and down. You're going to be depressed one day. You're going to be happy the next. You can't depend on the fluctuating things that happen in your life. But what you can do is you can choose to rejoice out of your spirit whenever you want to. Amen. I remember when the Lord told me this one time. I was a first-year Bible college student in Colorado, and something was going on in me and Shannon's life, and I remember it just got all over me. It got me discouraged, got me depressed, and I had to get in the car and have about a 20-minute drive to go to school that morning. I get in the car, crank it up, and I hear the Lord say, at famine and destruction you shall laugh. Now that's from Job. He actually told him, at famine and destruction you shall laugh. And I had enough sense to know what God was telling me. He said, it's time to laugh. Now, did I feel like laughing? No, I felt like crying. I felt like being discouraged and depressed and catering to my feelings and my emotions. But I knew what the Lord was telling me. It's time to laugh. And the Bible actually teaches us concerning God in two different places in the Psalms that God sits in the heavens and laughs at his enemies. Amen. Do you ever see God that way, as being happy, as rejoicing, that he's actually up there? Have you ever seen God laughing, sitting on the throne? Ha, 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 ha. Well, you should see him that way. And guess what you should be doing when you see him that way? When you got enemies coming against you, when the devil's coming against you, you look over at God through his word, and you see God going, ha, 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 ha. So guess what? Whether you get the joke or not, you start laughing. You know you do that with people you respect, don't you? If you get around people that you really look up to, like say you go out to eat with your boss or something like that, and they tell a joke and it was really a corny, stupid joke, what do? You laugh anyways. You're like, yeah, yeah, kind of like Sunday here, like this. Thank y'all. But you laugh anyways, whether you get it or not, because you respect the one who told the joke. If God's laughing, we should be laughing too. Amen? So if the Lord tells you, rejoice, what should you be doing? Whether you feel like it or not, you stir it up. So I'm in my car, and I knew what I needed to do. He's telling me, at a famine and destruction, you shall laugh. That means when the circumstances aren't going in your favor. So guess what I do? I'm driving. I got this 20-minute drive going to the school that day. And so I go, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. And I just kept doing it by faith. And guess what happened? About halfway on that drive, going to the school, I start belly laughing. It starts, you know those belly laughs where your abs are hurting and you're like, please don't tell the truth. I mean, it starts coming out of me, overflowing, and it totally changed and transformed my emotional makeup. If you don't like what your emotional makeup looks like, you need to get in the mirror and get it fixed. I missed some of you on that one. That's the word of God, praise God. So you got to just learn to rejoice and get happy anyways. Because he told you. And if God told you to do it, are you capable of doing it? If he told you to do it, he is not unfaithful and unjust in asking you to do something. You obviously have the capability to do it. Praise God. Just like many of us will say, well, I don't really feel like I got the ability to do that. It's just all over me and stuff like that. Let me ask you a question. Some of the ways that you act when you're out there, when you can get away with it, do you act that way at work? No. You somehow can hold it together there, can't you? Amen. Why? Because of the consequences. Amen. It's like this. If I were to tell one person in here, all right, Betty Jean, for a week, I want you to rejoice and laugh. I don't want you to go 5 minutes without laughing. And if you do that, I'm going to give you $1 million. Guess what? I don't care who you are in here and what you say your emotional makeup is, you're going to somehow find a way to do that for a million. Aren't you? Because why? We got to just be properly motivated to do it. So it shows us that we are capable of controlling ourselves, and we are capable of not letting our heart be troubled and rejoicing out of our heart whenever we want to. Amen? In fact, go over to Isaiah 54. Let me show you something here. We actually see this same principle outlined in this chapter, which this chapter immediately follows the great redemptive chapter, right? Of everything that Jesus was going to do for us on the cross, right? He himself bore our sicknesses, carried our pains. By his stripes we are healed. List goes on and on. His chastisement for our peace was laid upon us. Notice what he goes on to say in chapter 54, though. What's the first commandment? Sing, O barren. So what is our first response to everything Jesus Christ has done for us? Start singing. Sing who? Who's singing? O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing. And cry aloud. Now look at that terminology right there, break forth into singing. You know what that means? Is that you just got to flip the switch. You could just be sitting there and boy, the circumstances come against you. You're tempted to be downcast, depressed. You know what you do? You just break out into singing. Oh, come all ye faithful. That's what you do. Praise God. And cry aloud. You know why? Because you got to get out of your mouth louder than the voices that are in your head. You who have not labored with child. So who's doing this? This is the woman that does not seem blessed. Because back then in those times, I'm telling you what, that was the indicator whether a woman was blessed or not, how many children she had, particularly how many sons she had. So right here he's saying, this person does not seem like they are blessed. These are the people that need to be singing and breaking forth into singing and crying aloud. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman. Oh, we see that in Mary. We see that in Sarah. Do you not see this as a biblical pattern there? And this is not just talking about having children. This is talking about having fruit, which children are a fruit of your body. Amen. So guess what you should be doing? Rejoicing in it, whether you see it or not. Now go back over to Luke chapter 1, and let me show you something. If this don't light your fire, your wood is wet. Right here. This is good stuff. Look at this. After the angel says to her, rejoice, notice what he goes on to say, or how he goes on to describe Mary. He goes on to say in verse 28, rejoice, who? Highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. And then it goes on to say in the next verse, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. You know how many Christians are troubled when somebody comes and brings the gospel to them? They can't correlate how this could absolutely be true about me. Mary couldn't conceive how this could be true about her. Praise God. Y'all are supposed to laugh. Thank you. She couldn't. But notice what God said to her through Gabriel. I love this. Number one, highly favored one. Now, when he said this, did you know this is not just describing Mary? Amen. In fact, go over to Luke chapter 11. Let me show you something real quick. Luke 11, 27 through 28. A couple of years ago, I had a Christmas message the Lord gave me here. And you know what I called it? More Than Mary. Amen. It's good. And it was based on these verses right here. Notice what Jesus said. There was a woman that was sitting in one of his meetings. He had just healed the mute. And he was teaching just awesome wisdom to him. And this woman interrupts his teaching right in the middle of it and was just so floored with the anointing on this guy's life. And notice what she said. It said in verse 27, "And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb who bore you and the breast which nursed you.'" In other words, she was sitting there so floored with this anointing on this guy's life that she was like, "Man, your mama is blessed. Whoever it was that conceived you and gave birth to you, that is one blessed woman." And you know, there's many people in the church today that still consider that and can't identify with Mary at all. They think Mary is more blessed than we are. And that's not true. Because notice what Jesus goes on to say. And he said, more than that. More than that what? Than that person who bore you and nursed you, Jesus. More than that, blessed are those who hear the what? The word of God and keep it. To me, I believe he's correlating between hearing the word of God and keeping it to the same effect that Mary had on the life of Jesus when she bore him and nursed him. Amen. So more than that, in other words, the person that will actually hear the word of God, receive it in their heart, conceive it in their heart, and keep it, carry that child of the word of God, that person is more blessed than the woman who carried Jesus physically. Wow. So that shows us we are all capable in here of being more blessed than even Mary was. So then when he said all those things to her, those three things, which was what? Highly favored one. God is with you. Blessed are you among women. Those things are a reality to every person in here who has been born of the Holy Spirit and is a child of God. And has the Word of God on the inside of them. Amen. So the first thing he said was, highly favored one. How awesome is that? How many of you see yourself that way? That you really are highly favored. So when you go out and you're doing your Christmas shopping, are you expecting to find awesome deals? Are you expecting people to just come and hand you stuff and all these things we confess on these confessions in the morning? You should be. Amen. I mean, to the point where you might be misunderstood. I mean, I've been on airplanes before, flying overseas and stuff like that, and people are freaking out, and I'll say, "You're blessed I'm on this airplane with you. It ain't going down as long as I'm on here. I can't speak for you, but though 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it shall not come near me." People will call that arrogance. I call that confidence in who God said we are. Amen. Amen. I remember I'm working at this one Christian bookstore, and I was responsible for taking the bank bag down to the bank. And I had to walk there. And so I'm carrying this little, you know, those little zipper bags. And I'm carrying that thing, and I'm flinging it around while I'm walking down and all these things. And I remember I had an image in my mind that somebody would come to me and say, "Brother, you better be careful about that. You can get mugged." And then my response was, "Ha, ha, it ain't going to happen to me. You ought to see all the angels surrounding me." And then my heart smote me a little bit because I was like, is that arrogant to talk like that? And I was kind of thinking, is that pride? Am I in the wrong with that? I go back to my workplace and I was able to open my Bible up. It fell right open to a scripture in Jeremiah. Let's actually look at it. Jeremiah chapter 9. Come on, look at this with me. And this was the Lord's response to me concerning what my heart was condemning me on. Look at this. I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 9. Yes, it is. Praise the Lord. Verse 23. Sorry, Robert. I know I didn't give you this one. Jeremiah 9:23. We want to go in the direction of the Holy Ghost, don't we? And get encouraged. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories. Now, glories means boast or brags. He says here, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. So there's actually something God does want you to brag about. There actually is something God wants you to boast about and wants you to be confident in and speak it out of your mouth. And what is it? That we understand and know him. That when he told you he'll be there to protect you, you boldly declare it out of your mouth. God's with me and I will be protected here. And just because you get a negative reaction out of somebody out there that thinks that you're being arrogant and thinks you're out of balance does not change the fact whether God's happy with what you're saying or not. Amen. So that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight. God actually delights it in the fact that when his children know who they are and know what they have and boldly declare it in the face of adversity. He loves it. It just delights his heart. Amen? So we need to begin to understand who we are. We are highly favored. God is with us. We are blessed among men and women. Amen. Now when he says that highly favored one, that term is only used one other time in the Bible. It's used actually over in the book of Ephesians, which gives us this awesome exhortation of who we are in Christ. And it's used to describe us when it says that we have been made accepted in the beloved. Same terminology as this one. We have been made highly favored in Christ Jesus. The blessing of the Lord's upon us. Amen. The same blessing that was on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The one that was on Isaac when he was able to go into the year of famine and reap a hundredfold harvest. That same blessing is upon us. So this is the way I like to say it. Say it, it's the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Trey. Now, I'm not saying I'm the only one this works for, but I can't speak for you. You're going to have to believe it yourself, that I am as highly favored as Mary was, even in this situation, because Jesus Christ came for me. He came for you. And then he goes on to say, for God is with you. Isn't that awesome? Do you remember when Joseph was standing on the trading block before Potiphar came and purchased him? The Bible says he was naked. He was stripped to nothing. He had nothing. And he's standing there, and I love how the Bible says, and he was a prosperous man. Isn't that awesome? I mean, he's standing there. He has nothing. It seems like if there's anybody that's got zero in their life, it would have been Joseph in that situation. Yet God said he was a prosperous man and God was with him. Saints, I'm here to tell you, just the fact that God is with us, never to leave us nor forsake us, with us everywhere we go, he's in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Just that one truth means it don't matter what circumstance you're in, what situation you might have found yourself in, God's able to elevate you up out of that. Amen. And then he goes on to say there in Luke that you are blessed among women, which for all of us, we're blessed among all peoples. Amen. Come on, say it with me. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed among everybody. I'm blessed. Glory be to God. Now go back over there in Luke chapter 1. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I came this morning. Praise the Lord. I know this isn't your traditional Easter message. I mean, Christmas message. I haven't made too many worse mistakes preaching than that, so that's not too bad. I can tell you some doozies one-on-one, but I won't tell them while we got the mic on. So notice what he says here. He greets her this way, and she was troubled at his saying, considering what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Notice this, he tells her, don't be afraid, which is not just a courtesy way of greeting someone. This is a significant key in the conception of a miracle, because your fear can abort your fruit. Letting fear in can absolutely nullify what God wants to do in your life. And just because you're feeling fear does not mean you're doomed to it. You can change the channel. Amen. You're tempted to fear. What do? You start rejoicing. You start singing. You start getting your attention and your focus back over on what the truth is. That's what brings you up out of that. Amen. And then it goes on to say, you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over his the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? Now, those of you who are well-versed in Scripture know that there was a person who had some information delivered to them in a chapter or earlier in this chapter named Zacharias, the husband of Elizabeth, and that his wife was going to conceive and bear a child, and he asked a similar question, and it did not please the Lord too much. But he didn't say, how can this be? He said, tell me, I just don't understand how this is going to happen. He asked the question in unbelief. And what did the Lord do? The angel shut his mouth. You know why? Because your mouth can also abort your miracle. He's like, I'm going to have to shut this guy's mouth so that we can still have this thing that I've planned and purposed to happen in his life. But Mary didn't ask an unbelieving question. She asked just a simple question. How is this possible since I've never been with a man? Amen? And then notice what the angel said. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So what are you seeing here? This is symbolic of what happened in Genesis. You remember that? The Holy Spirit overshadowed. You remember that? He was hovering over the face of the deep. So he's describing the same thing that happened in Genesis here, showing us the Holy Spirit's operation in how these miracles happen. It's not just the Word. It's the Spirit and the Word that agree for your miracle. Amen. So the Holy Spirit's there, ready to conceive, ready to cause you to conceive the Word of God on the inside of you. And then it says in verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Come on, let's say that together. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Let's say it again. For with God, nothing will be impossible. One more time. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Boy, we need some mind renewal on that, don't we, church? Is that there is nothing too difficult for the Lord. There is nothing impossible to Him. And I'll go as far as what Jesus said in the Gospels. All things are not just possible to God. All things are possible to him who believes in God. Amen. So if we'll just mix faith together with God's Word and what He said, we can experience this kind of miracle in our life every single time. But how does it start? Rejoicing. Your attitude determines your altitude. You got to get happy about it. You got to get excited about what God's Word has said to you. Change the channel there. And then you need to get a new identity. Find out that you are highly favored, that you are blessed among the peoples. Amen. And God is indeed with you. Changing the way you view things like that. And then when the angel comes and tells you something like that, what do? You believe what he said. Because notice what Mary's response was here. I love this. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Saints, that right there is the key to her conception. She didn't have to have any proof. All she needed was the word that was delivered to her. And she just simply believed what the messenger of God said to her. Notice it was the messenger of God, Gabriel. It wasn't God appearing to her. Amen? So when you and I just simply take the word and say this very thing, we can see a transformation in our life and start to receive from God. So guess what? I think we should probably say this today, don't you think? But we're not going to say, behold the maidservant. Let's just say, behold the servant. All right? So let's say it together. Behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let's say it again. Behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. One more time. Behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Praise God. Amen. Did you get something out of this today? Well, we got something else special we're going to do today. Today we are going to partake of communion together, which is where we can make that connection. Amen. And I want you to know, you can receive your miracle today when you partake of communion. Praise God. But before we do that, I'm going to have Ned share an awesome testimony with us today, because some of y'all might not be aware of this, but you know something? We have already conceived a miracle by this very process in the city of Macon, and I want Ned to tell you the details on this. Praise God.
He told me to be quick. What the enemy means for evil, God will turn to the good. Amen?
Amen.
I want to tell you about the Not Abortion Clinic at 833 Walnut Street. There is, never will be, an abortion clinic. Never. How many people prayed? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Not only is there not going to be an abortion clinic, it has been bought by one of our beautiful Catholic believing brothers, and it is going to be a crisis pregnancy center. So really, what the enemy meant for evil, God is turning to the good.
Amen.
A crisis pregnancy center is a place where people who have unexpected pregnancies or people who just want to know or need help, they can go there. It's a place where if you've had an abortion, you can come and you can learn how to be healed through the Holy Spirit, that God loves you still. It is a place of life and not death. And from the get-go, as we went down there, we proclaimed life over that place. It actually, we began to call it the empty tomb at the end.
Amen.
And so that is an awesome, awesome Christmas present. Please leave your yellow signs up as a testimony to the Summit Center that they are not welcome in this town anytime ever.
Praise God.
In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Woo!
Because I'll tell you, these very principles of sowing God's word, because I know I've talked to Ned, it wasn't just praying and begging God to take this thing out of here. We spoke the word of God to that project that they had planned. And I love how God turns what was evil into good. He reversed the curse and actually used the building that was going to be used to abort babies to be a crisis pregnancy center. Amen. What a blessing. God is good. Amen. Well, if those serving communion would come forward, we're going to do that now. And while they are serving, we're going to sing a song. Praise the Lord. We are going to receive our miracle today. Amen. Praise God.
Please join in. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you, Jesus. The Apostle Paul said in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." I want you to notice here that the manner in which we are to partake of this is after we have given thanks. And I don't know where I heard this from, but I quoted it just the other day. We can have the spirit of Christmas every day as long as we celebrate the spirit of thanksgiving every day. And so we need to go into this with a heart of thankfulness for all that Jesus Christ has done for us. But before we partake, let's thank God. Father, we thank you for what these elements represent. We thank you that your body was broken, that our bodies may be made whole. We thank you, Lord, that your blood was shed so that judgment would never come upon us again. We thank you that your anger is turned from us and that you have given us shalom and peace. So, Father, we thank you today for being good to us and for providing us with all the things that we have. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Again, he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you." What this describes, saints, is for everything that's external. Everything we have need of in the natural. Physical healing, prosperity in any area. Jesus' body was broken that ours could be made whole. Let's partake together. Amen. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Saints, this is symbolic of our new and better covenant and everything that happened for us spiritually. Everything we learned today, being highly favored, God being with us, God being for us, is all because of this blood. Let's partake together. Thank you, Jesus. So again, Lord, we thank you for all you have provided. We thank you for taking care of everything within and without, for bringing us peace, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, for giving us sozo, salvation, which is perfect redemption and deliverance in every area of our life. We thank you today for all that you have done for us, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.